for adequate space for the creation of a gentle natural swale area, which will handle the existing runoff from the apartment complex and divert the runoff from behind the building to the west as well. This will put the eastern wall of the new building at exactly 7 feet from the eastern side property line. But again, the building's proposed to have 2-foot eaves. And so essentially that the 2-foot eave would be what would encroach into the setback area. And here's a illustration of the building in question. The applicants have further indicated that they do not feel that the 2-foot encroachment by the building eaves along the eastern side will cause any issues because the proposed building will be 16 foot tall. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves variance request case number 2016-11V, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of an eastern side setback variance of 2 feet, allowing for the construction of a new 48 foot by 58 foot or 2,784 square foot shop building, in which the building eave will be located 5 feet from the eastern property line. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And of course, we've got just a brief video of this one as well. They had already graded the site. You can really see the steepness of the existing hillside at the back of the lot. I don't know if I got a good shot of the of that stormwater grade or not, being open with you. But I know it's fairly close to where I'm standing. And just kind of wanted to show the back of the lot as well. And I don't know if it shows too well, but he did also have the corners of this staked out or flagged. And that's all the staff has at this time.
Mr. Shaw, you want to step up, please?
Well, Bob pretty well covered it for me. I mean, really, guys, I mean, the issue is, you know, basically the drainage off that hillside, kind of, you got that apartment complex that's there, and you kind of seen that it's pushing water off kind of on my property. So the contractor and excavator felt that the best thing to do with the water, since there was already water coming off, was to kind of push the building over as far as we could and try to take the water down the west side of the building. And, you know, it's basically eaves or no eaves. I mean, it's what it boils down to. And, you know, you've seen the building there beside me. That's a 40 by 60 by 12. And a building without eaves doesn't look as good as a building with eaves. And so that's kind of the challenge, is I've either got to build it without eaves or build it with eaves.
You don't own that property as well, do you?
The building next door? No, the neighbor across the street owns that one.
And is he aware of what you're doing and coming before?
I haven't. I mean, it's an old 85-year-old lady from Springfield, and her husband passed away, and they would have got the notice in the mail. I think her son kind of takes care of the property for her.
Okay.
I haven't personally talked to him.
I don't think it's pretty cut and dry. Again, it's an encroachment issue, but I would agree aesthetically it looks much better, a building with eaves than without.
And then, you know, their height is at 12 foot, and mine will be 16 foot, so it'll be, mm-hmm. you know, quite a bit higher, and there'll be more of a pitch to the roof. It's just a, you know, a darn metal building without eaves. Just doesn't, image appearance wise, just doesn't look as good.
I don't have any. I mean, I'd be willing to make a motion.
No other questions, Mr. Shaw? Make a motion.
Yeah. I'll be willing to make that motion to approve it as it's presented to us.
And I would second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That wraps up our public hearings for tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. We need to review the minutes from November 16th and either accept them or any changes need to be made.
No changes, is there?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There's no old business. Is there any new business?
Not that I have at this time. I will bring up one item. In
you guys are free to go. You don't have to hang around.
Oh yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Next steps.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We'll actually send you out a letter that'll kind of walk you through everything from here. But you can also call me tomorrow as well.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good evening.
On January 9th, there's going to be a hearing. We're going to look at proposed amendments to the current nightly rental regulations. That'll likely, being very open at the front end, that'll likely be continued into our February hearings. I think there's going to be a lot of interest, a lot of discussion, but you know, I'd love any input. I think I'm going to get a lot of input on this issue, but we're going to really try to look at how we're regulating or not regulating nightly rental. And
broad area.
It is. And
so different in different areas.
It is. It's been a tough one. The staff see them looking at the possibility of drafting two or three different sets of proposed regulations to maybe look at a couple of several different options or several different ways of approaching nightly rental or short-term rental.
I know the immediate issue is Branson Creek, where you live, and yes, that one, it's a powder keg.
It is.
No matter how it ends, it's a powder keg.
It is. It is.
And I know, Howard, you live out there.
Yeah.
You're on planning and zoning. How, as board members, are we protected in the event that we're sued personally? I don't know what's allowed and not allowed, but you're in a vulnerable situation, I'm afraid. And just we need to all know in advance, because this is, if it gets denied there, it's going to come before us, I imagine.
Yes, yes. Well, and there's a chance, whether it's denied or approved, that there could be an appeal before the Board of Adjustment. These are each being heard individually, and so there could be individual appeals even.
So I'm a realtor. I'm not directly involved in any of those. But obviously, through the community I hear and I talk to owners, and I know there's some serious thoughts on both sides that no matter how it goes down, there's going to be lawsuits.
Yes.
And they have representation.
Yeah.
Sides,
yes.
So knocking on doors and signing petitions. So.
And I have sympathies with both sides, because I know the owners that live out there, what they've been put through. I also know the folks that bought it thinking that they were going to do nightly rentals, and it's going to be a mess. So are we personally, as board members, I know on other boards there's insurance policies that step in and protect on situations like this. We need to know what our...
Yeah. Normally on HOAs there's like directors and officers insurance that will, on behalf of the board members, protect them. So it would seem like the county would have something similar, but that would be a good question to know.
And we also need to know, both for you and for me, if we need to recuse ourselves for any reason. If we have the potential to either have liabilities or benefits from either decision. So we just have currently Cotty looking at it, just the one attorney. Do we have a second attorney giving us advice? Or
This has been one, right or wrong, where we've actually had two advising. And likely, whatever regulations are proposed, which I actually really appreciate, I'm actually going to have the gentleman's name is Matt Wilson, and seems like a really, really bright attorney. I think he's got a background in real estate law, and he actually wants to, add some verbiage to whatever I write. He wants me to draft something, but anything that's drafted, he wants to really look at it. And like I said, my thought at this point is even potentially to look at a long term, more than one approach even, and just see what, as a whole, you know, the citizens and the planning commission and the county commission, what everybody's open to, what direction, if we can reach some type of consensus, which may be a difficult thing.
I agree. January 9th will be a back meeting.
It will. And so likely it may be predominantly receiving public comment and then trying to utilize that comment to come up with some draft proposals for February. And that's where I think that's where it's going to land at this point.
Where are you going to hold it at?
The plan initially is here unless we just flat get overwhelmed. I mean, we have held some meetings at the school in the past. If it's, and then I've wondered that same thing, if we'll need to look at the possibility.
Something you have in your back pocket, get a hold of them, see if you can use them.
For the rental owners, they will have representation with attorneys and real estate agents on their behalf. The owners live outside of the area, but I would imagine for the homeowners, you'll have 20 to 40
that
will show up.
Yeah. Already there's an email string going around meet at the clubhouse.
You get the tar and the feathers.
my hope is, and this is what's going to be really hard, is my hope is, and I don't know if we're going to be successful in doing this, but my hope is to, when we talk about possible amendments, that we talk predominantly about nightly rental in general terms and possible ways of regulating or not regulating nightly rental. It's going to be really hard because a lot of the folks that are going to come are going to talk about their specific situation and the Branson Creek development.
Well, are you having public hearings on the two that have already been submitted, Phillips and the second one?
We are, yeah. So, and that's what's going to be hard to to differentiate, you know. I had hoped to have just a specific hearing on nightly rental in much more generalized terms. it's hard to do that. Well, I've actually got it advertised for January 9th, but I was a little optimistic whenever I advertised it for the 9th that I've had too many things that have hit. And there's no way I'm going to have draft sets or regulations by then. So my thought, honestly, was just to, I know we're going to have a lot of people from the public, and my thought at this point was just to hear them out, just to allow people to voice their concerns, basically. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to find regulations that address both sides, basically, or that satisfy both sides in a lot of these cases.
To me, it boils down to the CCRs, what's the reported documents are. It's a residential subdivision, and it speaks specifically to that, you know, all rentals must be 30 days or more. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Situation, but there are some documents that don't address that, and that's where on Branson Creek, honestly, I don't know the answer to it.
I was involved in Branson Creek kind of when it started. We specifically added for the legends the nightly rental language, but when it was done as a plan of development, it was to allow nightly rentals, and something changed in 2012.